Assume many listening to your sermon are tired and need their interest piqued. That's our key sentence for today as we welcome you to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I know you used to go to bed early on Saturday nights so you'd be fresh for church on Sunday morning. Is that still your practice?
Still is, Dean. I go to bed early just about every night now. Normally, I go to bed sometime between 9 and 10. I didn't go to bed that early previously, but now my age is beginning to catch up with me, especially on Saturday nights. I, for years, would make it a practice to get to bed early because I know that Sunday is a long day and I want to be fresh on Sunday morning. But I go to bed usually by 9 on Saturday, not always, but almost always. That's because I get up at 4 o'clock on Sunday morning because it's the only time I can mentor new convert, and he comes by the house at 5:30 every Sunday morning. Now, sometimes I'm traveling, and we don't do it then, but when I'm home, he comes by at 5:30, and we spend time talking how his week has gone, how he's doing in his walk with the Lord, and I usually give him an assignment that he works on, and we talk about the assignment, how his marriage is going on, and it's just one of those one-on-one mentoring things. As long as he's willing to come that early in the morning, he works 6 days a week. That's the only day he doesn't work, and then he takes me home. I get home about 20 after 8, and I've already gotten cleaned up and ready for church, but there are usually things that need to be done. If we're having company come over, I help Karen a little. Then we leave for church about 22. Have church at 9 o'clock. It goes to about 10:30, and then I'm home, or unless we go out with guests afterward or have people come over from the church. But as soon as all that routine is done, I take a nap because that's just where I am. But I say all of that because if I don't get a good night's sleep on Saturday and then he comes early on Sunday morning and we spend a couple hours, I'm tired then when I go to church and I miss out on what's happening in church. So that's just my routine. And yes, I had a funny thing happen the other day at church. I was listening to the sermon and I was having trouble keeping awake. And I kind of poked my wife, and I said, I'm having trouble following this. And she said very quietly, I quit listening about 10 minutes ago. So she was tired too. I think it's just one of those things where ministers have to assume that the Mainses are not the only ones who are older and tired, but that a lot of people are tired. Do you ever fall asleep on Sunday morning?
I've never fallen asleep, but I've come close.
Okay. But I think it's wise for the average person to realize that most people are not like David and Karen. They go to sleep late on Saturday night. In fact, you can almost assume that because there are two services at the church where we are. The people in the first service, I would say the majority of the people come after the service has already started. Now, by the time you're 10 minutes into the service, there's a huge crowd there. But it means people are having trouble getting around on Sunday morning because they were out late the night before.
When they come late to the service, they don't have any opportunity to prepare.
Nope.
For the service, to sit in the pew quietly. I've always been one of these people that gets there a half hour early practically everywhere
I go. You do, don't you?
Everything.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so I like to sit in quiet and meditate and prepare my heart for worship because I'm usually quite distracted by what's going on in the rest of my life, and I need to push that all aside so I can focus. How does a preacher pique the interest of his congregation, those listening to him, taking into account some of them might be tired? How does he go about grabbing and keeping their attention?
As I listen to ministers that I really like, I think they usually use a story. The story is what grabs you right away. A lot of times they'll circle that story through their sermon a couple times. They won't finish it, and they'll add more, and then they come with a little addendum that you didn't expect was coming, which is quite nice. I think that that's a good way. The given morning that I was having trouble nodding off, there was not a story that morning. Another way to do it is humor. I think that usually if you say something humorous or you're going to use a humorous story, people will listen to that. Sometimes if they're in a series, you need to do a review because though you've been working with this all week, the people haven't, and you can't just assume they're going to remember. I always liked using a visual, Dean. If you use a visual, it's almost impossible for people not to look at what you hold up. Got an envelope here. I'll show you what's in the envelope in just a second. Well, you got them, you know, because they're wanting to see what's in the envelope. Normally, they couldn't care less, but when you're doing a sermon, for some reason, it becomes interesting. Object lesson. lesson, I would say, most of all, the way you keep their attention is by assuming, even as you begin your sermon preparation, that you're going to have to fight to keep some of those people, because as soon as the sermon starts, that's when they pretty quickly nod off. So you're saying, I have to capture their attention. Now, how am I going to do this? And so you structure it that you got them from the beginning. You can hold them for so long, which is usually not, it's not, you're not talking 8 to 10 minutes. You can hold them for 3 or 4 minutes. Then you got to pop something in there again. That's just the way the world is. The communication is very difficult today. So you have to fight for it, okay?
That's very interesting, the idea of having to fight for it. One of the things that I particularly enjoy about watching public television is that during the course of that drama, there's no interruption for commercials. I like that because I like to see the continuity of the story unfold. I was talking to someone recently and they said, oh, I hate that. I need those commercials so that I can go do this or go do that or go do the other thing.
Okay, that's the reason.
And that's a kind of a habit that our generation of people have gotten into, because so much of the communication that takes place is broken up into these bites. So a pastor somehow has to create transitions or chunks of information that people can absorb, and yet at the same time, hold their attention as the pastor proceeds to the next chunk. Are there some preachers who can hold the congregation's attention from the start to the finish, sermon-wise?
Yeah, and it just really, I'm very jealous. I think of one fella, and he usually talks for about 35 minutes. And when he's all done, I just think, man, you could have just gone on, because you got me. He is rare. Jim is just a really, really good preacher. You know that because of the way his church grows. He's in the minority. Most people, that's not the case. When I say that, that's the majority of people listening to us right now. You really have to fight to hold people's attention. And you have to say, okay, where do I put in a little bit of surprise here, which says, wake up, please, are you still with me? I have to assume that I do not have the skills that some people do. And so I have to say now in today's world, which is different than when I was a younger preacher, I can't go over about 20 minutes or I'm going to start to see people fall off. But if I can hold them for 20 minutes, which means that I can't just start talking and talk straight for 20 minutes, I have to bust that up somehow with storytelling. I've just finished using the apprentice juggler from our Tales of the Kingdom story, and I take a little chunk of it for each of the sermons. It divides up in probably 4 or 5 minute segments that I use in the sermons. That's my key illustration as a continuing illustration. But I do know this, the story will keep them. So that when I'm in story, whether that's an illustration or whatever, that holds people pretty well. Then I have to use all the other things that I can, whether it's an object lesson. At a certain point, you say, a lot of content here. I better pop this with something else or I'm going to lose them. That's just a part of what preaching is like today. It's very humiliating because I wish that I were better. And people will say, yeah, you're a good preacher, David, and all that. And I say, yeah, people usually, when it's done, I get more than enough good compliments. But I'm also aware that old Ralph over there had his mouth wide open and he wasn't listening to anything. He was awake when I started, but he wasn't when I finished. And I think that ministers have to assume they're not as interesting as they think they are and really fight to keep that attention. And I think you do that from the very beginning. You don't in your sermon say, all of a sudden, I think I lost him. You've done that in your sermon preparation where you've got enough experience that you say, okay, I got to put something in there because I've gone pretty heavy now for a little while. Then I have to come back. I got to do a review, got to put some humor in, whatever. And that's just a part of the world in which we live.
Once you do it a while, it becomes a rather natural part of the sermon development process.
I think so, yeah. I think so. Or if you have the advantage of being able to preach a sermon a second time, that's really helpful. And most ministers get a chance to preach at other places on occasion. We say, that worked, but I think I lost them right in there, and I need to... So you're reworking the thing.
Mm-hmm. Assume many listening to your sermon are tired and need their interest piqued.
Say that again, because I'm not sure we got people's attention. Assume...
Many listening to your sermon are tired and need their interest piqued.
Here's why you need to listen to what I'm saying. See, those are the kind of expressions. Are you still with me? I think I've lost some of you. Haven't? Okay, good. You know, but you're constantly working with that and assuming that some people are dropping off just because of the world in which we live. Do you get the point, Dean?
I got the point.
Okay.
Assume that many listening to your sermon are tired and need their interest piqued.
And Maine's maybe one of them. He was out from 5:30 doing his ministry in a discipling fashion. You got to wake Maine's up. He's getting old.
And did you notice that during that entire podcast when you were talking, I didn't nod off once?
That's pretty good.
We're so glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast. You found it at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.